when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, one of the things he told our Lord was, turn these stones into bread. Jesus would respond by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word we live by. Living by the word of God means believing in it and trusting in it, even if you have no earthly idea how it's going to get done. Abraham saw a big gap between what God said on one hand and his situation in the other. He understood what God said, that he would make him a father of many nations. But Abraham looked at his situation, looked at his circumstances, and questioned how that word would come to pass. He and his wife were old. His wife was past that time for bearing children. There was some Eliezer of Damascus in his household. Maybe he would be the heir. Maybe he would be the one through whom God would work to make Abraham a great nation. God sees Abraham thinking about these things and still doesn't provide all the details, but he does tell Abraham that he will have his own son, and his own son will be the heir. Abraham's offspring will number the heavens, and Abraham believes this. And the text says he believes, and it is counted to him as righteousness. Friends, he has faith in God's word even without all the answers. All he knows is he will be given a son, and through that son, he will be made into a great nation. The writer of Hebrews tells us more about Abraham, that by faith he obeyed God's call to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know. But he does it by faith. God would work out the details. Abraham had faith, but Abraham believed in something greater than lush pastures and cozy tents. Hebrews also tells us that Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God himself. Abraham believed in and was looking forward to God's eternal heaven. He trusted in God's mercy. He trusted in God's grace and was considered righteous by this faith. Abraham lived by the word, even if he didn't always understand it, even if he didn't always know how it was going to turn out, which is a lesson for us. The Christian is to believe in God's word and live by that word and say amen to that word, even if the details are hidden. Friends, we trust in God's mercy. We trust in his salvation and his forgiveness that is ours now, and we let the future belong to him. An opposite example of all this is the evolutionist who denies the biblical account of God speaking creation into existence in 6 24-hour days because it's impossible for words to create matter from nothing. Now, there is plenty of rational scientific facts and evidence that support the biblical account of creation. However, you, the Christian, do well if you simply hear what God says and you take it by faith, which is what we hear in Hebrews this morning. It is by faith the Holy Church of God believes and confesses that God created the universe by his word, making things that are seen out of nothing. To be Christian, to be a believer, means to live by faith in God and keep his word dear to your hearts. Every day, we need to hear this word. We need to pray this word and confess and believe this word. Not one day goes by, not one day goes by that is designed for us not to hear the holy living word of God. For by hearing his word, faith comes about. The very word that speaks creation into existence is the very same word that makes faith in sinful hearts otherwise condemned and separated from God. We can't go without this word, The preacher must always preach this word, and hearers must hear this word. Believe it, trust it, even if it seems impossible. We are like Abraham in that there are many times we hear God's word, but our faith exists alongside unbelief. There is a line in the Gospel of Mark, a part in Mark where a man says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Faith alongside unbelief. Belief, and at the same time there is unbelief. A corrupt nature filled with sin, doubting God at every turn as we look to idols to save us. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That is a prayer that should be on our lips every day. Because like Abraham, we find ourselves in situations and circumstances that make having faith really, really hard. If I was to summarize what I think the essence of false teaching is in America, then I would say it's a teaching that says if you have enough faith, you will receive earthly treasures from God. Stuff like money, health, job, placement, advancement, those sorts of things. But in that teaching, there is nothing about repentance, nothing about forgiveness, nothing about eternal life, just good things here and now. That's the essence, the central point that I would say of false doctrine in America. But you know what the sad thing is about that teaching? The sad thing is it's not as good as the truth. It doesn't compare to the real city. Earthly treasures do not and cannot compare to heavenly treasures that belong to you in Jesus. It doesn't compare to the good news that your sin is put away right now. You are forgiven. You are redeemed and righteous on account of faith in Christ. That is what we need to hear because that's what matters. When a young Christian woman makes a mistake and she finds out that she is pregnant out of wedlock, she'll feel shame and guilt for her sin. And the consequences of her sin, her actions, are seen by who? Everyone. Everybody knows she messed up. But against all the emotions, against all the shame, against all the guilt, against all the, I should have done this, I should have done that, the gospel of our Lord Jesus is spoken. You are forgiven and you are pure. And you are innocent because of Christ crucified for you. He's washed you of your sin, and by faith you are counted righteous. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. The Christian believes, even in the face of sin, and is counted righteous before God. Think about that. This word seems impossible, that sinners like you, that sinners like me, could be declared actually innocent before God. It doesn't make sense. It's not even fair. We deserve punishment and death for our iniquity, but God instead forgives you, and in Christ he gives you his kingdom. People may see the consequences of your sin, and they have their own opinions. But dear friends in Christ, what matters is God's declaration. What matters is God's verdict. And for those who belong to him in Christ, you know what he calls them? He calls you his saints. Do you know what he has made you? He has made you an heir to his everlasting kingdom, his city. If you've been married for a while, and maybe, just maybe, you're thinking about throwing in the towel, you can't get out of your head the sins that your spouse has committed against you. Or you can't get out of your head those sins that you have done towards your spouse. Then I say unto you, by faith, hear the word of God that pronounces you forgiven, totally pure on account of Jesus. Both of you right now have God's mercy, and both of you right now in holy matrimony are as pure today before God in Christ as on the day you said, "I do." Because then and now you have Jesus. you have faith, and by faith you are counted righteous before God. And if your body is falling apart, and every day it gets harder and harder to just live, and maybe even taking your own life has crossed your mind. Dear child in Jesus, you already belong to your God. Dear child, he has already made you his child, and he has already secured for you through Christ life in heaven where sickness cannot exist. Your suffering is always temporary. Sickness, disease, these things have no place in heaven. Your body, created by God, will be restored at the resurrection, and you will see your God, your Redeemer, face to face. Why? Because God promises you this. God promises you this, and he gives you this through his Son, Jesus. Your sin is put away. When he takes you, he only takes you to be with himself. We live by this word, my friends, and we believe it, even if we don't always understand it. And even if the gospel seems contrary to those feelings of guilt, those feelings of shame, anger, all those feelings that we wrestle with too often, Jesus says it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. It is his pleasure to give you his kingdom. And he gives it as a gift, and it is yours by faith, not by works. The faith of Abraham, the faith of the baptized believer. Faith grabs God's gifts. Faith receives God's kingdom that is yours in Jesus. At the cross upon which Jesus hangs, we see blood and gore. He gasps for breath while slurs and mockery sink into his ears from the very people he dies to save. Jesus gives his life into the senses. It appears as if Jesus promised to redeem the world dies with him. And yet, friends, the opposite is true. We hear from the Word of God, we hear in the book of Revelation, that his blood, Jesus' blood, frees us from sin and makes us a kingdom of priests to God. You are part of that kingdom already right now, yours by faith in he who sacrificed himself for you. I leave you with this. Do not be anxious, and fear not, little flock. Do not be afraid, says your Savior. Because it is his good pleasure to give you his kingdom. A kingdom yours now by faith. Faith in his promise. Faith in his word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which really does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.